Welcome to Metaphysical Romp with Reverend Paul Hasselbeck and co-host Reverends Bill Holton and Cher Holton. Discover practical applications to bring 21st century metaphysics to work in your life. Here's your host, Paul Hasselbeck.
Welcome to another edition of Metaphysical Romp. This is the Reverend Dr. Paul Hasselbeck. I'm delighted to be with you on this hot and steamy day in Kansas City. And at the other end of the virtual kitchen table, we have
Reverend Dr. Cher Holton.
And this is Reverend Dr. Bill Holton. And it's hot and steamy here at this end of the table, but we've got some cooling down information for you. Cher and I are the co-founders of an online ministry called the Global Center for Spiritual Awakening.com. And you can take the short path, the more cool path, the air conditioned path to get to us. And it's called yourspiritualpractice.com.
All right. And get lots and lots of information there. Wow. I don't know how you guys produce so much. Congratulations.
Thank you.
That's amazing.
Fun. We have a good time with it.
I think you do. Okay. So today in segment one, we're going to be continuing to look at law. And just as a reminder, a spiritual law describes how mind works and uses or depends upon spiritual principle in some way. And spiritual law, immutable law, law of mind, they are always active. You can use it, you can misuse it, but you can't not use it. We've been having quite a deep dive, guys, on the law of spiritual evolution, because those paragraphs from Charles are really, really jam-packed. And then we're going to have our pivot into segment two, and we're looking at Bill's book, Reverend Bill Unplugged and Unedited. And again, it's Cher's choice. She's been curating this, and we're deep into the W's.
Yes, we're getting near the end.
Near the end, we're looking at world spirituality, and if by chance we get that done, we're moving into worship. And then the absolute word is from Sunday, July 21st, and the words are time enough. Time enough. So, Cher, you've been our great reader, so you take it away. This is from Charles Fillmore's Prosperity.
Right. And we started this on our last podcast, but we wanted to pick it up again here. And here's what he says. Every man has a definite work to do. And we know that man, he means man and woman.
Humankind. All humankind. Something like that.
It's easier to read it the way you wrote it.
Yeah.
I'm trying to rewrite it in my head as I'm speaking. Every man has a definite work to do in the carrying forward of the divine law of spiritual evolution. The law is set into action by our thinking and is continually supported by our thought as it develops our soul. Within us are the great potentialities of spirit that put into action enable us to be, do, or have anything we will. Science tells us that each of us has enough energy within himself to run a universe if we knew how to release and control it. We do this releasing by a process of letting go and taking hold. Letting go of the old, or that which has done its part and is no longer useful, and taking hold of the new ideas and inspirations that come from the superconscious mind. Jesus told Peter that what he should bind in earth would be bound in heaven, and what he should loose in earth would be loosed in heaven. He was not talking about a geographical earth or a definite place in the skies called heaven. He was explaining to Peter the law of mind. The conscious mind is but the negative pole of a very positive realm of thought. That positive realm of thought, Jesus called the kingdom of the heavens. It is not a place at all, but is the free activity of the superconscious mind of man. Whatever we bind or limit in earth or in the conscious mind shall be bound or limited in the ideal or heavenly realm, and whatever we loose or set free in the conscious mind, which is earth, shall be loosed and set free in the ideal, the heavenly. In other words, whatever you affirm or deny in your conscious mind determines the character of the supermind activities. All power is given unto you, both in heaven and in earth, through your thought.
Whew! Yeah, that is quite a statement, isn't it? Mm-hmm. And so I guess we'll do what we normally do. We'll just piecemeal it a bit and
sure.
drill down into it. So
a lot in there.
Yeah, so why don't you do like the first two sentences?
Okay, every man has a definite work to do in the carrying forward of the divine law of spiritual evolution. The law is set into action by our thinking and is continually supported by our thought as it develops our soul.
So in my looking at this, the first thing about we all have a definite work to do in carrying forward this law of spiritual evolution is that we cannot not have a work. And at the point of us, we determine how definite it is. Mm-hmm. The implication could be from reading this that there's a God that's determining what our work is to do, because that's we're seeing it through that cognitive bias of a God that does that. However, in the context of some of the things we read in Fillmore, that would be predetermination, and there's no predetermination, mm-hmm. and it negates free will. So that's my first thought. Bill, share, you have another thought?
Yeah, I do. I'm surprised that Fillmore here, maybe he's done it elsewhere, did not include the concept of involution as well as evolution. We are evolving through our conscious mind, our earth, toward the spiritual, but there's also an involution direction, which is the spiritual us, their superconscious, which is in our superconsciousness, also interacts or affects us, and that's an involutional direction.
He definitely talks about it elsewhere. You know that. Actually, there are two terms I wish you would just at least get rid of: involution. all that really means to me, and it's an important step, but by giving this term involution, it becomes kind of like a jargon. If you don't know what it means, if you're not an insider, it's just
Sure.
That this is basically a concept of, if you go traditional, putting God first, or going to our divine nature first, or remembering our divine nature, and then we evolve from that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I also think it, because from what we believe, every man has a definite work to do in carrying forward of the divine law of spiritual evolution. I read that to mean we all are involved in the process of creating this spiritual evolution.
Yes.
And that work can manifest itself in a variety of different ways, mm-hmm. and it's up to us to choose.
Yes.
But everybody has a role to play in making it happen, and so nobody is insignificant.
So that last statement was a killer. No one is insignificant.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right? Yeah. So that's the point. We are each responsible for carrying this forward. Mm-hmm. Then he goes on to say, the law is set into action by our thinking and is continually supported by our thought as it develops our soul. So what this leads me to believe, and we've been kind of dancing around this or looking at it, so the law of spiritual evolution is using the law of mind action here.
Yep. Once again, that law of mind action comes into play.
That is looking more and more like a primary law, just as mind idea expression is, and one is a version of the other. So we're talking about the same thing. And it's worth talking about and talking about. Now, the interesting thing is, he goes, supported by our thought as it develops our soul. And in this context, I don't know if he's talking about soul as personality, which was Charles's primary definition, or soul as we understand it today as our spiritual side. I would have to say not spiritual side, just because we hold the belief, and Charles did too, that our spiritual nature doesn't change. So I'm good with make it personality. Bill, you want to do something with it too?
Yeah, I also have a thought that the law is set into conscious action by thought. The law is already in action. The law is.
Yes.
Oh, so you'd add the word conscious.
I'd add the word conscious
action. I think that's a good point. Yeah.
I think it's a really good point. So if the law is really set in action by both conscious and unconscious, right? By the unconscious as well, or the subconscious.
Well, mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's always in action.
Always. So it's always in play.
We get to use it, is what you're saying. Yeah. We choose how to use it when we can consciously think about it and support
Yes.
it. Yeah.
So the important point about that is, if I am thinking, if you are thinking, if the listeners are thinking, that law is in motion.
It's
in action. And then we'd have to have a discussion about whether when we go into the silence where we're not aware of whether we're thinking or not, the law is available to in action, but maybe it isn't because we're in that state of total non-awareness and can't possibly know. But we might think of it as happening beyond our conscious awareness.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Okay, go ahead, Cher.
Okay, let's see. Within us are the great potentialities of spirit that put into action enable us to be, do, or have anything we will.
Okay, so to me, those great potentialities of spirit would at the minimum be the 12 powers, the 12 divine ideas, or 12 principles, but it would be also all the other principles and divine ideas, including those that are in the new book and those we have not yet discerned.
Mm-hmm.
And the other point about this too is the point that we put them into action.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Not that they go into action of their own accord.
Yeah. So do we really believe that sentence?
That's so, a pretty, say more.
Big promise that we have the great potentialities of spirit that put into action enable us to be, do, or have anything we will.
Yeah. So we would probably all agree that's a gross overstatement. Yeah. And this kind of reminds me of a conversation we were having before we started recording this, is that in some ways, I think people get discouraged with unity because the way we talk about it, we overpromise.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it sounds like the proverbial prosperity gospel. Yeah.
It is, and this comes from prosperity. You can have we can have anything we will. And my only response to that, the only way that is true is in consciousness.
Yeah.
I could right now have a wonderful experience of being on the beach in Maui in my consciousness.
Yep. But
am I on the beach? No. Mm-hmm. And some scientists would take that a step further, that your mind doesn't know the difference between you're imagining on the beach or you're being literally on the beach.
Exactly. Yep. Right?
Now, I would rather imagine being on the beach, because then I can imagine the beach where the sand doesn't get in places I don't want it.
That's right. We won't get a horrible sunburn either.
Yeah, you won't get a horrible sunburn or anything like that. So we could call that a half-truth.
Yeah. No. Okay. Science tells us that each of us has enough energy within himself to run a universe if we knew how to release and control it.
So there's Charles riffing on the science of the time.
Mm-hmm.
And that was where we were talking about, they were just discovering all the energy that's in a single atom.
Mm-hmm.
And that we know the power, the energy that's in atoms that cause atomic bombs and stuff like that. However, if you released it, you'd be obliterated.
Yeah.
So what good is that? But I think it's a cool idea to think of all the great potential that's just within a single cell,
mm-hmm.
energetically.
And by the way, if any of our listeners have not read Fillmore's book, Atom Smashing Power of Mind, we highly recommend it.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
That's one of our favorites.
He riffs on that in there too, doesn't he? This idea of all the power. Yeah.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Okay, let's do one more sentence.
Okay, so we do this. So he's telling us how we can harness this energy. We do this releasing by a process of letting go and taking hold. So two parts to it. Letting go of the old, or that which has done its part and is no longer useful, and taking hold of the new ideas and inspirations that come from the superconscious mind.
Yeah, so I just realized that's a lot bigger than we want to chew on right now. So it is talking about denials or releases and affirmations. And so let's come back to that. I do like the idea of letting go of that which is no longer useful.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's mental, physical, and spiritual.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So we're going to want to riff on that next time. So we're going to do our pivot now, and we're pivoting to Bill's book. And just a reminder to go to Bill and Cher's website at yourspiritualpractice.com and take a look at their path, your spiritual path.
The order of the sacred path.
The order of the sacred path. Heck, I have a hard time remembering the name of your book and I read it. The order of the sacred path. as a way that you can do your own spiritual journey working with Bill and Cher. Okay, Cher, we're looking at world spirituality on page 205. Take it away.
All right. So this is a short little paragraph, but it's very, to us, it felt very apropos to what's going on in our world today that it would be useful to just touch this idea. So we, Bill and I, Bill wrote this, so it was the two of us, are affirming a world that is post-wars and violence, post-child abuse, post-denigration of women, post-hunger, post-materialistic, post-religious fundamentalism and biblical literalism, post-religious founder and or guru worship, post-anthropomorphic God worship, post-Gaia abuse, post-cultural and nationality prejudices, post-doing harm to anyone, post-bigotry, post-animal cruelty, post-religious exclusivity, post-injustice, post-racism and sexism, post-narrow-mindedness, post-dogmatism, etc.
Wow, another Bill shopping list. It sounds like you want to crucify all this on a post.
Yeah, that would be a good post all by itself.
That would work.
Wow. Did you write this when you found that wonderful recording of Imagine? Because it really fits
it's
here.
Certainly one of my favorite songs, but by John Lennon. And
now by the one we found was the one
by Pentatonix.
That's it, yeah.
Is wonderful.
We had that posted on our website as well. Yeah.
Yeah. Everyone go look for that. It's just an amazing recording.
Yeah. It's on YouTube too. You can just go search Imagine by Pentatonix.
Yeah. So when I think on the magnitude of this and all the things you listed there, it reminds me of a quote from A Course in Miracles, which is really pessimistic. It says, "Seek not to escape from problems in the world, for the world was made to have problems."
Now that's interesting.
So that was based on the idea that this our separated selves, our ego, is what creates the world and creates all the problems in the world. And it creates these problems as a smokescreen, so we don't know our true identity. So it's a cool concept, but wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
What's interesting this morning, I always pick a book and just open it, one of our books, and open it and point and read it. That's my little inspiration for the day. So I was reading from this great book called Buddhist Boot Camp.
Oh, cool.
It's a really cool book if anybody, it's on Amazon. But in it, it says, "Sitting very still may not sound interesting, but the results of doing it on a daily basis are extraordinary. Is peace merely the absence of war? Or is it tranquility despite the conflict? Is happiness the absence of suffering? Or is it contentment despite the imperfections?"
Yeah.
And that kind of ties in with this too. That
I would appreciate if you reread those. You probably closed the book already, but go ahead.
Which, what I just now read?
Peace isn't merely the absence of war and all of those.
Yeah, he said, "Is peace merely the absence of war, or is it tranquility despite the conflict?"
Yeah. Okay. So read the other ones, because these are profound.
And is happiness the absence of suffering, or is it contentment despite the imperfections?
Yeah.
And then one other sentence: "I believe we can be happy in a world that is already broken and have inner peace in the midst of chaos. We can be in a frustrating situation, but choose not to get frustrated. And we can also find bliss in less than ideal situations. Happiness is a choice."
Yep.
Yeah, so that reminds me of attitudinal healing. One of the first principles of the 12 principles of attitudinal healing is I can be peaceful inside regardless of what's happening outside.
Mm-hmm. Yes, same kind of thing, yeah.
So how many people go around waiting to be happy, waiting to be peaceful until the outer is perfect somehow?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's that if-then syndrome people get stuck in. Or
when
I get this, then I'll be happy. When I have this, and they never get there because they're always when-then-ing.
Yeah.
There's a neat little YouTube. It's a cartoonish YouTube that gets at being peaceful in the midst of chaos. And it's called The Samurai and the Fly.
Oh, I saw that.
It's fabulous.
It's about a minute and a half.
About a little bit longer.
Than 2 minutes. Yeah. We encourage anyone who hadn't seen that to do that as soon as you can. It's an extraordinary little piece of work.
We actually use it even in our corporate workshops, because even though it's a little Eastern, metaphysical, people get it. And when we talk about inner focus moments where you go within and it can change without, we use that video, and it's, people really relate to it. It resonates.
Yes. So my guess would be, in your corporate work, it's probably more acceptable to do this stuff that's on the border of Eastern philosophy rather than traditional Christian or something like that.
Oh yeah, it is.
Even so, there's a little line that you have to be very, very aware of.
Well, and I'm sure you've developed the skill to know exactly where that line is.
And what's interesting is that line is different depending on what client you're working with.
So know your customer, right? Know your customer.
Definitely.
Okay, so
we can get very far.
Sheriff, you're telling me it's time to pivot to our third and shortest segment on the Absolute Word. And of course, we're grateful for Unity World Headquarters, for giving us permission. The Absolute Word is based on Sunday messages appearing in Daily Word, a copyrighted Unity publication, and has been used with permission. So this comes from Sunday, July 21st. The words are "time enough," and it goes, "I have time, faith, and strength enough to do what I know is mine to do." And I just have to say, when I read this, I thought of one of my co-workers at Unity Institute, who was a Unity minister, Tom Thorpe. And I know you guys know Reverend Tom Thorpe. Mm-hmm. And he had a saying around this, so I'm wondering if he wrote this. So it was kind of fun seeing that. "I have time, faith, and strength enough to do what I know is mine to do. I look forward to what I plan to accomplish today. First, as I center into the awareness of my divinity, the peace passing all understanding quiets my mind, calms my emotions, and relaxes my body. Second, in prayer, I claim and quicken my divine faculties of love, wisdom, understanding, and order. Then, I knowingly organize my time in ways that allow me to fulfill important commitments, contribute to my own and other spiritual growth, and provide the physical activity and rest my body needs. Living from my divine identity, I also recognize and release activities that do not contribute to my highest good. I guide myself as my day unfolds using my divine faculties of wisdom, understanding, will, and order. I affirm I have time, faith, and strength enough to do what I know is mine to do."
That is awesome. Yeah. Everybody should have that over their desk.
And read it every morning.
Read it every morning, yeah.
And the original was written in a more traditional thing in the Daily Word, that it's God that gives us this stuff. I'm not surprised, because it's written for a particular audience. Mm-hmm. But I really had fun amping this one up.
Mm-hmm. You did a great job. I love the sentence, "I also recognize and release activities that do not contribute to my highest good."
Which, once again, connects to what we were just talking about.
It does, yeah, perfect.
We're going to be sharing about next week. Okay, so Bill, share, keep cool. I'm doing the best I can to keep cool. We're grateful for air conditioning, and we're especially grateful for our listeners. Thank you, listeners, for investing your time to listen to us. We hope you take what we say, incorporate it, think about it, take a deep dive, and use it to be a better you. Thank you, Bill. Thank you, Cher.
Thank you. And we appreciate this and love doing it.
Yeah, thank you. And we are H-E-I-R conditions for sure.
H-E-I-R?
Air conditions.
Oh, my gosh. I need another cup of coffee. Okay. Bye, everybody.
Bye.